May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Now, after reading this and knowing about last week, the 5,000, and the week before the 5,000, well, we, two things. One, we know is in all four Gospels, even though this is a slightly different way to present it, a slightly different angle, but I looked down at the little basket of taco food for the poor in the area, and I thought, well, maybe during this week I can put a notice in the bulletin and we can get maybe a little bit more food for taco this week. I guess when I looked down, I thought, oops, I'm slipping on the job. Anyway, for me, when I read through all of the lessons, I thought to myself, I think what hits me most is what's our decision on what has value in our life? What's important to us? In the call, it says we want to pass through things temporal. So that's where we are right now. We're in temporal life. Where we are, what we do, who we are, what we buy, what we don't buy, what we say, you know, everything in our life, that's right now is temporal. We don't want to lose our eternal life because we're not doing what we should be doing here in our temporal life. So it's like, what has value? And like Elijah, like the man, Philip, Andrew, Paul, you know, we all have to decide what has value, what's important. Now in the call, it's kind of a good call because we prayed and we're trying to realize in the true term of the word, realize meaning that we're going to do it. Realize all that action in our life, that we are going to trust in God and obey our God more than ourselves. Because we learn that nothing is strong without God. Now, I don't mean, you know, as far as physical strength or maybe mental strength or emotional strength. People could argue, well, I'm strong. I don't need God. But spiritually, do we know and recognize that we need God in our lives and all that He does for us? When we know we need God, then we are becoming spiritually strong. And we're doing that with God, through Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we do all of that, when we recognize our need, then we suddenly start turning to Him and following His way and His will, just like in the Old Testament. And I love this. A man came from Baal Shalisha. I love that town. I don't even know where it is, but I just love the name of it. And Elisha tells him, you know, your offering that you brought, give it to the people. And the guy's like, but there's not enough. That's paraphrased, but basically he's saying, no, there's not enough. I'll look like a fool. It's not going to be but a couple of people. So who was the man really thinking of at that point? He was thinking of himself. And what does Elisha say? Elisha repeats himself and says, give it to the people and let them eat because thus says the Lord. In other words, we're going to do it because God said to. And so the man obeyed God through Elisha's word, through his prophecy. And then lo and behold, amazing as it was, it worked. They ate. It's amazing how much God knows. Sometimes we don't recognize it. So then next, we have the same kind of thought in the gospel. They get to a quiet place, not again, to rest. And what happens? All the people who are following Jesus, they need Him. They have a need. They want to be healed and they want others to be healed. And then they realize that they're hungry. And Jesus tells Philip, He says, well, what are we going to do? In other words, where is the nearest McDonald's? But there's no place around. And they don't have the funds. And so, what happens next? Andrew speaks up. Our eternal optimist. I just love this. He says, well, there's a boy here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But then just a little bit of doubt creeps in, and I don't blame him. I'd be a little nervous if 5,000 people came and I had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I'd be worried as heck. But then he says, so what are we going to do? There's so many people. But Jesus says, make the people sit down. And they trusted in the Lord, and they made the people sit down. And they gave out the food. And what happened? Amazing. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, God Almighty himself knew best. And everybody ate, and everybody was satisfied. And everybody had an abundance of food. But then we learned a couple of other things. There were leftovers. There were some crumbs left. Did Jesus discount them? No, he had the disciples be good stewards and be aware of the need for the next time. And they gathered all the fragments up. And it was quite a haul. It was 12 baskets of leftovers. We can be satisfied by the Lord even when we eat just the crumbs and the leftovers. It's our hearts that need to turn to him, learn how to trust in him, and then do what he wants. And St. Paul, if there was ever a good example of somebody who really did an about face and decided to trust in the Lord, it was St. Paul. Because he went from murderer to giving all that he had to the people for Jesus. All that he had, including his life. And if we read this section, we can see how much that St. Paul trusted in Jesus and how much his love was for the Lord, that he was responsible, wanted to be responsible to God's people. And he did give them all that he had. And if we read this, I pray that according to the riches of his God's glory, he may grant you to be strengthened. And it goes on and on. Strengthened by the Holy Spirit in our inner being. Remember last week I said, let's all take a deep breath, have the Holy Spirit in us, and then exhale all the stress, the worries, the doubts, the griefs, and the anxieties. It's like really sitting in the lap of God. And so then it goes on. It says, because in your inner being, through the Holy Spirit, Christ is going to dwell in your hearts, so that you are rooted and grounded in love. And I pray that you may have the power to comprehend. How many times do you hear Paul saying, you, meaning us, instead of him saying, well, it's all about me. Paul really loved God's people enough to give his all. And then what was his whole purpose? What was the point? So that you, he says, so that all of us may be filled with the fullness of God. So what's the fullness of God? And he thought, what's the fullness of God? God's attitude, his way, his being, the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, his love, his mercy, his tolerance, his forbearance, his forgiveness, his steadfast commitment, his unconditional love, his understanding, his generosity, his abundance, his truth. That's what St. Paul was praying for them and for us to have in us, in our inner being, the fullness of God. So as we, maybe during the week, read through these lessons again, we can choose to be responsible to one another and to the world. We can choose to love God enough to follow his will and accept the unexpected, because what God has in store for us is truly unimaginable, because he loves each and every one of us very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.